This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God of peace and justice, even on this Ash Wednesday solemnity, we pray for the people of Ukraine. We pray for peace and the laying down of weapons. We pray for all those who fear for tomorrow, that your spirit of comfort would draw near to them. We pray for those with power over war or peace, for wisdom, discernment, and compassion to guide their decisions. Above all, we pray for all your precious children at risk and in fear, that you would hold and protect them. We pray in the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Please be seated. Well, for 20 years on this night, you have heard me start with the same two words. So this year's no exception. Happy Lent. And if you're new to us, you are wondering, that guy is really deranged. But I mean it from the core of my being. Because it is the one time in our entire year where it seems okay in our culture to concentrate upon the things that really matter. I mean, you could be at a cocktail party with a bunch of friends who aren't churched, and they offer you something, and you say, oh, no, thanks, I gave it up for Lent, and they get it. They understand it. They accept it. There are so many things like that, that it is truly a great opportunity for us to look at the ways that God might be calling for us to do something. And, you know, it's not just about giving stuff up. How often when I was a kid is, well, what are you going to give up for Lent this year? Well, I'm going to give up candy. Well, I don't like candy, so that was a real sacrifice, wasn't it? But we're always reminded by the good teachers, well, if you're going to give that up, then the money, the little pennies you would have spent on that, how about collecting those and giving them to a charitable cause? Mere deprivation has nothing about it that is holy. It's about emptying a space so that God can fill it up. If you read my devotion that kicks off our Lenten journal for today, that is the exact thing I'm trying to say. And there is so much about the spiritual journey that is just that. Last Palm Sunday, as we do every year, we had palm branches, we blessed them, we waved them and sang Hosanna in allegiance to Jesus. And these ashes that we will have placed upon our foreheads are those very palms that have been burned into ash to remind us basically that that symbol of our allegiance to Jesus, there are ways in our lives that it has grown dim. And we are reminded that there is a rejuvenation that this season calls us to go for. Now, you read the gospel from Matthew and you're thinking, well, Jesus says, well, go into your room and shut the door and pray in secret. And we're all thinking, well, that's about all I could do for the last 2 years. Well, what Jesus is getting at is the motivation for what we do. My favorite quote, it always comes back to my heart on this day, is from T.S. Eliot, his play, and he says at one point, the last temptation is the greatest treason, to do the right thing for the wrong reason. This doing the right thing for the right reason is this motivation thing that Jesus is talking about in the gospel tonight. To have in our minds and our hearts that we realize that there are parts of our journey that we can improve upon. that we're never done growing in our spiritual journey, as we looked at 2 weeks ago at Blessed Are the Poor in Spirit. We are blessed to be in the midst of this study of the Beatitudes and St. Francis of Assisi. If there is one saint that truly got it in this regard, who understood that his whole life was about conversion, was about continually looking for ways in which God was calling him into a closer and closer relationship, and consequently, there was a call to do more that would help him on that journey. I showed a clip a couple of weeks ago from a wonderful documentary called Sign of Contradiction. And I want to play just a 5-minute little clip as those who are the expert on his life are talking about how this lifelong view of conversion took root in the life of St. Francis. Let's play the video if we can.
God started tapping him on the shoulder and telling him to pay attention that, you know, Francis, it's not all about you.
That Francis wrestled with that question, who am I? And what Francis began to see really bothered him and caused him to be frustrated, because what Francis saw was that he was a sinner, that he was selfish, and that he was prejudiced, and that he always wanted the focus and attention to be upon him. And this bothered Francis, and he was confronted with who he was. Francis would go on to say that he was the greatest of sinners. You see, for Francis, what sin was ignoring God, was pushing God off to the side. He had this sense that God was calling him to himself. He had this sense that God wanted to be in the center of his life. And Francis, in essence, said no. Francis wanted to be in the center of his life.
If we go back to the real meaning of sin to the Bible, we can find, especially in the New Testament, a technical verb that is used by the Gospel. And the Greek verb sound like amartoleo. If you would like to translate it as near to the original meaning as it was, the real translation should be to miss the target. We are like an arrow that is made by Lord to hit the target of joy, of good, or of love. When we have sinned, or when we have sinned, we have missed the target. So repent is what is needed to align ourselves to the real target.
He said in his testament, when I was in sin, it seemed bitter for me to see lepers, but the Lord led me among them, and I showed mercy to them. And there's a movement in here about Francis moving away from his self-concern, because we start with him saying, when I was in sin, the focus was on himself. And he's judging everything in his life according to his own likes and dislikes. So Francis is receiving mercy from God, challenging him to get out of himself and pay attention to something else, in this case, the lepers. And as a result of that, his life starts turning around.
So one day as he was on his horse riding through the valley, he saw and he confronted a leper. And then I suppose moved by grace that he knew that something had to change. So Francis gets off his horse and he approaches, he confronts the leper. And for Francis, the leper represented everything that he hated. Francis says that he was revolted by the lepers.
Normally, what he would do is ride the opposite direction, you know, get out of there. He doesn't want to see that. He doesn't want to smell that. He doesn't want to be around that. But what he did in this instance was he went up to the leper. And not only did he get off his horse and give the leper money, but he kissed him and embraced him.
I think that when he met the leper was the key moment. And in his testament, St. Francis says very clearly, he puts the beginning of his conversion when he went toward the leper, and then what seemed bitter was converted in sweetness for body and soul. In my opinion, this is the root. St. Francis had to choose at this moment to save his life or to lose his life. It's the point where Jesus puts the change. If anyone wants to come after me, he must renounce himself. At that moment, St. Francis denied himself.
In the Bible, there is not one word or one verb to say conversion, but there are two classes of verb, in Hebrew and in Greek. One verb say that conversion is a change of direction. Another verb say that conversion is a change of mentality. So when I get that, it's like if a light turned on in my head. I said, look, that is the meaning. Conversion is simple, this ongoing process of changing direction in our life. Is this ongoing process of changing the way in which you look at reality.
That which Saint Francis detested the most, lepers, that which he wanted nothing to do with, became the instrument of his redemption. There are areas in all of our lives where we want to say to ourselves, say to those we love, and say to God, don't go there. I pose to us to consider tonight, maybe that is the very area of your life that God wants to use this Lent to redeem you. We can look at these words, sin, penance, conversion, in a very negative way. But when we truly understand it in this sense, it's the most positive thing that we can experience. To repent, to rethink, to turn around, to do a course correction. And in so doing, we'll truly be able to say when it comes to Easter, boy, was that a happy Lent. Amen.